Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
All right, good morning, everybody. It's a Wednesday, and we're continuing our discussion with the Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place on the will of God. Now, when we tape this show, a few weeks ago on the day that there was a terrorist attack in Brussels, a suicide bomber, 34 people killed at an airport. It happened on the morning that we're taping. And these are the type of things that happen that really tests our faith, and it gives, I think, ammunition to those who are non-believers to say, well, there can't possibly be a God if you would allow something like this happen. And even worse things happen in our world than what happened on the day that we recorded the show. And hopefully in the intervening time, there's been nothing worse that's happened. But there probably will be. And that's where people say the will of God. Gidi, thank you so much for being on the show. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we've been continuing our series. This is the ninth in a 10-part series. And we're going to be talking about, is God almighty? If so, why does he allow so much evil in the world? And again, when we talk about the will of God, I mean, no one really knows what the will of God is other than what we read in the Bible. We know that's part of his will, but nobody really speaks for God or should be speaking for God.
That's right. And even, you know, interpreting the Bible in terms of his will can be very tricky, as we saw with the woman taken in adultery.
Uh-huh.
It's very clear what it says in the Old Testament you should do with an adulterous woman or man. And yet Jesus intervened as God Almighty and did something different.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't presume. I think presumption is a difficult thing. But to get back to your question about terrorist attacks like the one that happened today in Brussels.
Let me go more than that. I've tried to speak to atheists once in a while, and I try to prepare by at least taking a little bit of time to say, to go online and say how to debate an atheist, how to argue points to the best points that they have. And every website I read says the hardest thing to defend when you're defending God's will and what happens in these bad things is this area right here. School children, 100 school children get massacred. How could that possibly be, one, the will of God, and why doesn't God intervene and stop it? And that's a hard one to explain.
It is. It's very difficult to explain. And, you know, the correlation to atheism, I think, is right on, because many people become atheists because of some kind of tragedy where they feel that God has let them down. I know that I did. When I was in 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, I declared myself an atheist because I was so upset with God and for the evil that he had allowed in my life personally. So I really understand the question. To answer this question, I have to address the idea of fatalism. Fatalism is the belief that everything that happens is God's will.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in the Bible that says that everything that happens is God's will.
Uh-huh.
And the church throughout the ages has not said everything that happens is God's will, although there are different theologies that try to explain God's will or God's sovereignty. I'm thinking particularly of Calvinism. And then there are other theologies that explain it in a different direction. But basically, this is the idea of fatalism. Every evil, every rape, every terrorist attack, every child molestation and murder is the will of God.
Yeah.
Therefore, what does that mean? It means that God is the author of evil. It means that God is basically using his power for evil. And it means that we're helpless. Now, in Islam, this idea of fatalism is held by Muslim people, that whatever happened, it must have been God's will. And it creates hopelessness and helplessness. And it creates, in my opinion, a view of God that is not accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to step back from that and realize, yes, God is almighty, and he can change and affect everything in the world. However, he has given us human free will in a limited fashion. I don't have the free will to sprout wings and fly, but I have the free will whether I'm going to press a button that's going to blow myself and everyone around me up, mm-hmm. or whether I'm not going to press that button. Mm-hmm. I do have that choice. And so the question becomes, why does God give us a choice and then allow the consequences of those choices to be lived out?
I could hear an atheist saying, well, there are plenty of times when somebody is about to do some terrible act and then decides at the last second to not do it. And the Christian will say, well, God intervened and stepped in and prevented that person from blowing himself up and hundreds of other people. So God intervened to prevent that from happening. So an atheist will say, God takes credit, or Christians are willing to give God credit when good things happen, but when bad things happen, they don't hold God accountable. That's an argument that I have a difficult time trying to beat back.
Well, the thing is, you know, we need to understand that God's grace is constantly being poured out mm-hmm. on this world and humankind. And some people receive it, and we call that God's intervention. And some people resist it, and then we call it God's fault. But his grace is continually being poured out upon us, believers and unbelievers. Otherwise, our hearts would not beat. Our lungs would not work. We are alive today because of God's gracious, life-giving power moment to moment.
Isn't part of it, Gidi, I'm speaking to Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place, isn't part of it that people who are non-believers look, we're going to take a break right now, but I wonder if people who are non-believers look at things from a humanistic point of view in the way we see justice, and there's a different way God sees justice and what happens in the world. We're talking to Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. Well, we'll continue our discussion about the will of God. Is God really almighty? If so, why does he allow such evil things to happen in the world? Continue our chat after the break.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught.
Welcome
up
to KKXX Life Radio.
Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes.
This is Live Local Talk.
All right, welcome back. Gidi Hansen has a master's degree in Christian studies. She also counsels individuals over at The Growing Place. If you're interested in contacting her, you can go to 588-0448, make an appointment for you or your family member, 588-0448. You can also find out more about The Growing Place, which is here in Chico on East Avenue, by going to tgplace.com, tgplace.com. Gideon, I know we're talking about the will of God and why there's evil in the world, and I think that we try to look at things maybe from our perspective, and you're trying to explain that there's a different way that God sees things.
Exactly. That's an excellent point that you made. And, you know, there is a personage in the Old Testament who thought that everything that happened was the will of God, and mm-hmm. that was Job. Mm-hmm. And that's why Job, like our atheist friends, became so angry at God. Because God allowed so much evil to happen. And Job thought he had it all figured out. He knew God's will. He did the requisite sacrifices. He did the requisite prayers. He did everything he was supposed to do. And then all these bad things happened. He lost his children. He lost his livelihood. And he nearly lost his life. And who did he blame? God.
God, yeah.
And yet, at the beginning of the story, we find out who was really responsible for all that stuff. And it was Satan. And yes, God gave Satan permission to do that stuff, but God was not the author of it. So what we need to remember is, and I love the point you made about the God's viewpoint, God knows that this world is temporary. He knows there's an eternal destination for every human soul. So when lives are lost in this world, it doesn't mean they're lost eternally. When evil happens in this world, it doesn't mean it goes on eternally. All of the evil And sin that happens in this world is the result of the actions of humankind, even with grace being poured out, and the actions of the enemy, and the actions of the world system, which in shorthand we call the world, the flesh, and the devil. So God allows this freedom for evil to happen because he is looking for love. He is looking for free agents who choose him, not because they're programmed instinctually through nature or because God micromanages our lives like the grand marionette, puppeteer, to try to say, okay, can't go there, you must do this, you can't do that, you must do this. He's not looking for that. God has cut those strings. And instead, he offers a love relationship to us to which we must respond.
It's not a lot much different, I suppose, Gidi, from a parent who says, we're no longer going to be a helicopter parent.
Exactly.
You're going to go to college, and now I have to let you decide what you want to do, where
exactly.
You want to go to school, what you want to go out and do this or do that, and you just have to pull those strings. And that's sort of what God does with us too.
Exactly. Otherwise, we remain eternal babies, and we never grow up to that stature that God desires for us and that love relationship that he desires. Mm-hmm. When you have fatalism, how can you love a God who allows so much evil?
Okay, so
You see what I mean? How can you love somebody who says, okay, we're going to kill you with cancer and we're going to have your wife die in an accident and we're going to do all this stuff to you. Now love me. How does that work?
Well, sometimes that is what's difficult for people
if
to understand.
If you think that God put the cancer in the woman and caused the drunk driver to get drunk and sit behind the wheel and hit the person.
But if God has the power to prevent those things from happening,
that's when he pours out his grace. Grace is very powerful, but he does not micromanage, in my opinion. Now, there are Christians who believe that everything that happens is God's will. And he does micromanage. And in the end, he holds us accountable. And that's next week's question.
Right.
If God is in control of everything that happens, then why is there a judgment day and why are we still judged?
Well, is God's will shown in everything that happens in the world? Sometimes we don't know what God's will is.
That's it. Now, perfect, Jerry. Think of the crucifixion. What did it look like in human eyes with the Son of God incarnate, the Messiah of Israel, hanging on a cross and dying? What did that look like to humans? It looked like all the promises he made were for nothing. It's all ending in tragedy. The bad guys won, the good guys lost, and the next thing you know, they're going to nail us to a cross and kill us too. And yet, what was God's will in that event?
Well, God's will was to sacrifice his Son.
And to save the world.
But I will, and you know, this is a good...
So this is when we look at God's will from a human viewpoint and we don't recognize what God is doing behind the scenes, we can miss the whole point. And that's the other thing about God's will is there is always an element of mystery.
Well, that brings up an interesting question. I had a discussion with Pastor Richard Hoyt about this. When Jesus was on the cross, he was three times, I believe, not necessarily on the cross, but leading through his passion, he asked that this cup be taken away from him. But only the third time did he say, take this cup from me, but I will do your will if that's what it is. But
that's not what he said. He said, if it is your will, may this cup be taken. The second time he said, if it is your will that I must, the third time he said, if it is your will that I must drink it, then I will drink it. And the second time he did kind of a splice of the two. I don't have the Bible in front of me. But the lead thing was, if it is your will. So Jesus was asking for another way, and he got his answer.
Yeah.
And the answer was, there is no other way. This is the way.
Yeah. Okay. We might touch on this a little bit more if we can. I don't know if we have time. We have one more segment in this show about, is God almighty? And if so, why does he allow so much evil in the world? And we'll finish up our discussion with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place today, right after this time out.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
All right, we're at the end of April when this show is being broadcast, but we're recording in Holy Week, the week of Easter, with Gidi Hansen, The Growing Place. And I always think I know everything there is to know about Holy Week. I think I have it pretty much down, but then some things come up, and one of the things we're discussing here is the will of God, and where God, my understanding, if I'm wrong or not, is his will was... He turned his back on Jesus. He had to turn his back on his son in order to, for all of our sins to be forgiven. He had to take on the... So I think Jesus is Jesus questioning his own father. Why are you doing this to me? Why have you forsaken me? Because he doesn't know... Does he not know the will of God when he's on the cross? Does he not know what his sacrifice is going to do? Because he's asking God, why have you forsaken me? And there's some people who say, well, if Jesus didn't know why, how could we possibly know what the will of God is if Jesus himself is on the cross and he's saying, why have you forsaken me? And he doesn't know the will of God.
Okay.
It's a tough one.
It's a tough one. Two answers come to my mind. Number one, our Lord is pointing everybody to Psalm 22. Because Psalm 22, which was a Davidic psalm, begins with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the whole psalm describes the crucifixion from David's viewpoint, I think 1,000 years before. I think David was 1,000 BC. So that's one answer. The other thing is, it's a rhetorical question in my viewpoint.
Okay.
Like when a mother comes into a room and says to her daughter, who do you think you are? She's not saying, I suddenly have amnesia and I don't know who you are. Mm-hmm. The message underneath that is, you're out of line. So in my opinion, when Jesus says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The message under that is, Father, you know that I am pure and I am innocent and I don't deserve what's happening to me right now. But I will be the sacrifice that you have called me to be.
Oh, that's very well put.
And then when he says, my God, I believe, he's saying, my God the Father, my God the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't say it three times because he is God and he has not abandoned himself.
Okay.
So I think there's another aspect of that.
And maybe the rhetorical question is talking to us as well, for us to have this discussion ourselves,
yes.
Is why did Jesus say that? Well, he said that because he knew the answer to the question, but he wants us to be able to say...
He wants us to know the answer.
And the answer is that I'm the sacrifice.
That I'm the sacrifice.
So exactly. Trying to know the will of God...
It's like he underlined that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe he emotionally, as a human being, may have also felt that.
I was wondering that, too.
I don't think he was acting,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think he suddenly had amnesia and he didn't understand his mission in the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No way.
The Holy Week is the week, and I don't want to get off on a tangent, I don't mean to, but it's always the week where I find myself identifying with God, Jesus, as a human being more than at any other time, because it's we've all been rejected in the world, and so when we go to him, we say, oh, I get it. You know what I've been through. You've been rejected, so you know the pain
right,
that I felt.
And I'd like to make another point about Holy Week. Two times in the Gospel, Jesus asks for something. Other than the woman at the well,
mm-hmm.
you know, he says, give me some water to drink.
Mm-hmm.
That was a setup for him to evangelize her.
Mm-hmm.
But there are two times when he asked for something that he really needed and he really wanted, and the answer was no. One was in Gethsemane when he asked his apostles to watch and wait and pray
mm-hmm.
with him for just 1 hour, and they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And the other time was in Gethsemane when he asked the Father, can this cup be taken? If mm-hmm. not, I'll do your will. Imagine going into the crucifixion with that sense of abandonment.
Yeah.
That was part of his sacrifice. That was part of his anguish.
So because he came here as a man, he understands when we suffer and we were
yes.
rejected.
Yes.
And it also means we can't go to heaven and say, hey, Jesus, you have no idea what I've been through down
yeah.
there.
Yeah, oh, man, we don't have any idea what he's been
yeah.
through. So
yeah.
there's the ultimate answer to our dear atheist friends.
Uh-huh.
If you want to know the will of God, meditate upon the crucifixion of Christ. Meditate on the love of God that so loved the world and all the evil people in the world that he sent his only begotten son as a sacrifice
mm-hmm.
to save this fallen world.
And
that's where you're going to see the will of God the most clearly.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see the heart of God. And you're going to see what it cost God to save us.
Those kind of things are good. Still, I still wonder, though, it's still hard to explain for me when I see innocent children being slaughtered. I have a hard time with that one, and it's still a difficult one for all people to understand.
Of course,
that.
Of course it is. But we have an answer. I believe I have an answer, even if I don't understand.
Yeah.
Because sometimes God's will is mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to wait till the end of the story, and that's not in this world. The end of the story is not in this world.
Mm-hmm.
The end of the story is on Judgment Day.
Yeah, I also wonder, too, I you know, when we think about, you know, the average person lives till he's 70, 75, I mean, that's a flicker of time in comparison to eternity.
Yes.
And I think maybe sometimes do we make too much of life? Do we think that it's too valuable? You know, Jesus says you got to give up your life to have life.
That's very true. That's very yeah. true. You know, it's amazing how short this life is, and yet this life will determine our eternity.
Yeah, very good. Well, that wraps up today's show. Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. If you are looking for some counseling help, you can contact The Growing Place. Go to tgplace.com, tgplace.com. You can also contact Gidi directly if you have any kind of issues you'd like to deal with, family issues or personal issues. Please give her a call, 588-0448. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We'll be back next time. So long.